Right, good evening. How's everybody? Good. By the way, there's people tonight that are going to die and go to hell that aren't doing so well. So I'm glad you're doing well, but there's people we need to chat with. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Amen.
That is correct, okay. This talk is simply entitled Awake. That's all this talk is entitled, just real simple. Called Awake. Every second, two people die. By the time you put your head back on your pillow this evening, 150,000 more people have walked off in eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. And I got a very simple question for you, fellowship, very simple question for you. Do you care? Much tougher question, though, all right? Do you care enough to do something about that? Because trust me on a very simple statement. If you do not care enough to do something about that, you do not care. And I'm going to tell you, that's the problem we got with the American church today. We swear to the high heavens we care where all these lost people are going to spend eternity. But have we cared enough to talk with that person next to us on a plane flight when we came coming in? Someone at a restaurant today. Your waitress named Sabrina, like our waitress today from Colombia. Grew up Catholic, does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Fascinating conversation, okay? Because those people you meet at Disney World, those people you meet behind the front desk, Ken last night, AJ last night when I checked in, the people that clean your rooms, okay, are all walking off into eternity. Question is, where are they going? Two more people just died. Two more people just died, and we're worried about the Seahawks. We're worried about Billy Donovan, where he's going to coach at. We're worried about all these things that don't matter. Two more people just died. Two more people just died. What's it finally going to take, folks? What's it going to take to get your full and complete attention to walk out of here and serve the Lord Jesus Christ by planting seeds with lost people, watering seeds in lost people, and watching the great God of this universe give a wonderful increase to those seeds? What's it going to take? Two more people just died. Bill Bright from Campus Aid for Christ here in Orlando, before he died a couple years ago, said this. You ready for this? He said that 2% of all Christians share their faith on a regular basis. 2%. Question for you. Need a verbal response, please. Question for you. Does that sound like the book of Acts to you? Oh, absolutely not. That's the book of action, okay? They found the Lord Jesus Christ, and they couldn't wait to go tell somebody. They couldn't wait to go into this city and that city and walk into King Agrippa's life. They couldn't wait to go tell somebody. Who are these people turning this world upside down? Who are these people? They were regular folk who got born again and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, led by the Holy Spirit, and they were turning cities upside down. Is that correct? Where are those people today? Where are those people today that are turning your church, your city, your school upside down for Lord Jesus Christ? Because time is precious. People walking out of here. And the question is, what are we doing about that? Promise Keepers, the men's organization, came out and said, 2 years ago, ready for this, men? That 90% of all Christian men have never shared their faith in Lord Jesus Christ one single time, not once. Sound like Peter to you, Paul to you, Andrew to you, Thomas to you? Doesn't sound like it to me. Young men in this room sitting out there, young men, we have lied to you what it's like to be a biblical man in 2007. Biblical men in the Bible are bold, righteous servants of the Most High God. They stand up and they take territory and they don't back down, okay? And we have lied to you what it is to be like a biblical man in 2007. Those days must end. Those days must end. They must see us as the pastors and the dads to these boys. I was in a prison the other day talking with four 17-year-olds. Finally asked them, said, did you grow up with your father? No, 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 no. Gentleman, a friend of mine runs a prison ministry, walked into juvenile detention center, 300 young men in this juvenile detention center. He asked the head of the juvenile detention center, he said, how many fathers have come to visit their boy in this prison? I'm going to take a wild guess what the answer was. One. We got problems because we got dad problems. Let me tell you something. Every time I see a bold, righteous young man that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, you almost always find a mom and a dad just the same way right behind him. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. We, our parents, got to get back on the right page, okay? Young men, you're going to stand up strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. Young ladies, if you decide in this lifetime when you get married, okay, and you're going to, if you decide to date instead of do courtship, which is a much better option, if you decide to date and you go out with some guy that won't read the Bible with you, won't pray with you, won't go witnessing with you, do yourself and himself as big a favor as you possibly can and dump this guy as quickly as you possibly can. Amen. Besides saying yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important decision you shall ever make in your lifetime is who you ever say I do to. Is that correct? That is correct. Young ladies, be very choosy who you ever, ever, ever say I do to. Young men, could you be that man? Could you be that man that some young lady is going to bring back to mom and dad and say, Mom and Dad, this is the one. This is the one you've been praying for. This is the one I've been praying for. Mom and Dad, this is the one. He treats me like the special queen that I am, that the Lord Jesus Christ made. This is going to be the head of the household. Mom and Dad, this is the one, I'm telling you. Okay? Young men, can you be that man? We're looking for men like that today, are we not? Yes, we are. Time's precious. People walk out of here. What are we doing about that? Let me ask you a question. How many more American soldiers do you see dead on your TV screens before you're going to start getting out of your comfort zone and start witnessing and sharing your faith boldly with people? How many more? We're up to over 3,000 soldiers dead in Iraq alone. Okay, but the question is, where are those soldiers now? Okay, I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I travel a lot. The Atlanta airport's the staging ground for Army soldiers. They come through Atlanta. They process. They go Baghdad. They go Afghanistan. I talk to soldiers a lot. One thing I always ask soldiers, what was the worst thing that you saw when you were over there? I was talking to a soldier the other day in the Atlanta airport, and he told me that he was in Kuwait, and his job is to take the press into Baghdad, protect them, and get them out of there. He said the other day we had Oliver North. You heard of Oliver North before? Had Oliver North. He said five different times snipers were set up to take him out. He said we took him in, we protected him, we got him out. All right. He said I'm walking on base, I'm walking with the buddy. All of a sudden, sniper shot went off. He said my buddy was walking in front of me, civilian clothes, shot to the chest, straight to the ground. He looked at me and said, I know what death looks like. I've seen enough death. He reached down, picked up his buddy, held him in his arms, said, what can I do for you? He said, tell my wife I love her. Takes his last breath and walks out of here. Question is, where is that soldier right now? Because soldiers do that. You and I do that. The question is, where are we going when we take that last breath? And what are we doing to put that stop there and saying, you are not going to a place called hell over my dead body? When are you saying that to one of your friends and letting them know that? Last summer, I was in Indianapolis going to speak at something, so I was waiting for a car to pick me up. And so I was standing out there by the you know, outside the airport, and there was a gentleman next to me. So I looked over to him. I said, hey, how you doing? That's a great way to witness to anybody. Hey, how you doing? Where are you from? What do you do? Tell me about yourself, okay? Very simple, easy statement, okay? Sharing your faith is not a presentation. Sharing your faith is a conversation, all right? Sharing your faith is not a presentation. Sharing your faith is a conversation, all right? Jesus had a conversation with the rich young ruler. Jesus had a conversation, okay, with the woman at the well. Paul had a conversation with King Agrippa. Okay, go out and have conversations. So I'm standing next to this young man. I said, how you doing? He said, good. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a soldier. And he looked way too young. I said, how old are you? He said, 21. And real young face. I said, coming or going? He said, I just came back. I said, how long? He said, a year in Iraq. I said, okay, what was the craziest thing you saw when you were over in Iraq? He said, sir, one night we're on Humvees. We're taking off on Humvees. All of a sudden, an IED, an improvised explosive device, went off on the side of the road, blew up the Humvee in front of us. He said, sir, there were pieces of Humvee going this way, bodies going that way, and pieces of body going this way. Okay? Began to witness to him. He was an atheist. Imagine being an atheist after going through all that you just saw for a year. Think about this, okay? I began to witness to him. I began to talk to him. Gave him a book that I wrote specifically geared for lost people. All of a sudden, his mother pulled up in a Jeep Cherokee to pick him up, all right? You know, where I come from, it's a good deal when your mama picks you up in the airport. Is that correct? That's a good deal because she usually has food, and that's a good deal, okay? But his mama pulled up in that Jeep Cherokee. That young boy walked back there, opened up that back hatch, threw that duffel bag in there, closed that back hatch, had that book just crunched in his hand like that, walked forward, sat in that front seat, and they began to take off. How do you not know God can't use one conversation, one book? Okay, didn't he use it in your life somehow? Someone talked with you and did that, but how can we know he uses that? But the question is, when are we stepping out and being that man, being that woman, being that teenager that God speaks through in someone's life? Because someone's walking out of here. Question is, where are they going? Question for you. Need a verbal response, please, okay? Do you believe hell's a real place? Yes. If you believe hell's an actual real place, then remember this, okay? You can never ask yourself the question, how can I share my faith? The only question you must ask yourself is, how can I not share my faith with that person? That's the only question I can, not how can I witness to the people on my plane flights tomorrow going to Buffalo? It's how can I not take the time to share my faith with those people? Think about that, okay? I played college basketball at Auburn University years ago, back during the Charles Barkley times, and Charles and I stayed friends for the years, and Charles Barkley's little brother had a heart attack and died. He flatlined, and so they paddled, and he came back. I saw him 2 months later. I said, hey, Daryl, did you see anything? He said, you better believe I did. I said, what'd you see? He said, I flatlined. My spirit rose up, and I could see the flatline. Okay, I took off to the waiting room. He said, I can tell you who was in the waiting room, what they were saying, what they were wearing when I was clinically flatlined. Okay? This can't be a brain shutting down. He's got external evidence to back it up. You know how people flatline and they'll go see white lights and tunnels? You heard about that? Heard about that? Not what he saw. He took off on a journey. All of a sudden, he saw trees on fire, ground smoldering around the trees. He saw a lake of fire in front of him. He said he could literally feel the heat off that lake of fire. It was so intense. I have now met more than one person who saw a lake of fire when they flatlined. I have met 13 to 14 people who have flatlined, who got the hell experience, not the heaven experience. Had a nurse in Buffalo recently tell me she had a patient getting ready to flatline. He starts yanking his feet to his chest. He starts screaming. He said, the fire, the fire, the fire. Flatline, took his last breath, walk out of here. Had a Jewish woman at the Des Moines airport a couple months ago tell me her best friend, his wife tried to kill him, stabbed him in the neck. He winds up in the hospital. He kept floating in and out into this coma, coming back in and out. And he told her later, he said, every time I began to flatline and go out, he said, I'd start screaming to the nurses, fire at my fingertips, fire at my feet. Flatline, paddle, come back. Fire at my fingertips, fire at my feet. Flatline, paddle, come back. He said he could literally feel the flames of hell coming to get him. Okay, think about that for a second. Last year I was in Cincinnati. I was talking to a woman at a breakfast buffet, Betty, and Betty looked at me and said, I got to tell you a story. I said, okay. She said, in 1990, my husband flatlined and died. She was in all the Cincinnati papers. They paddled, nothing worked, he died. Pulled all the wires out of him, wheeled him off in a gurney, left him in the hallway because he's dead, all right? 15 minutes later, he sits up on the gurney 15 minutes later. Dead 15 minutes. She walked over to him, and this is the first thing she said. Spouses, you know how you can look at the countenance of your spouse and already know what's going on half the time, okay? She walked over to him. Her first words were, honey, what did you see? She knew instantly he had seen something. He said he went down a dark tunnel. All he could hear was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Have you heard that term before? Straight out of your New Testament, okay, more than one time. He literally said there was a vapor, a fog, and he could see the people's faces screaming in the fog, and hell, he kept going down. He said all of a sudden, two hands of light came in there and grabbed him. He told his wife later that he knew it was Jesus. I have met more people that would say they know it is Jesus. Folks, do you know Jesus is the right answer? There is no other answer but the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. There is no other hope on this side and the other side. Grabbed him, started pulling up when he hit the top of the tunnels when he sat up on the gurney 15 minutes later. She asked him the question. She said, honey, what was the worst part of that experience? You think it's anything I just mentioned, not what the man said. Ready for this? He said the worst part of the experience was he couldn't bring anybody out of there with him. Oh my goodness, what do you know from the story of rich man and Lazarus? Once you die and judgment is set, there is no what crossing over from one side to the other. You are in heaven, you are in hell, you shall be there forever and ever and ever. One, do you know where you're going? And two, where you're going, who are you bringing with you? Because trust me, if you're going to hell, you bring people with you. Is that correct? That's correct. And if you're a born-again believer, your responsibility is to make sure you've planted so many seeds and watered so many seeds that when you get to heaven, it's not like I don't know nobody. It's like I do know lots of people because they decide to cash that ticket to heaven in by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and decide to come to that place, okay? Every second, two people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, over 150,000 more people walking off into eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. Simple question for you, all right? Do you care? Much tougher question, though. Do you care enough to do something about that? That's what we're going to talk about tonight as we open up the Word, okay? We're going to do much more than talk about it. We're going to what? Much more than talk about it. We're going to what? Do it. Do it. How could a hotel ever be the same again if 300 to 400 people, bold servants of the righteous God, Most High God, walked out here tonight and started sharing their faith in Jesus Christ? How could Orlando ever be the same if 300 to 400 born-again believers walked out and started sharing their faith in Jesus Christ? If 12 people can change the world, trust me, 300 can change Orlando. Is that correct? That's why all you want is a remnant at your church. You got a remnant, you can turn your town upside down if you so desire, okay? Time is very, very precious, okay? We must use it very, very wisely in the days to come. Let's pray as we get started. Father, thank you so much for just a great chance to be here. Father, thank you so much for letting us be alive today. But Father, don't let us be alive to use our breath to glorify our names. Father God, to glorify our sports or sports teams. Father, let us use this breath to glorify the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, there's lost people. You, in the book of Acts, you opened up the heart of Lydia. If you can open up the heart of Lydia, there is no heart you can't open up in Orlando and Buffalo and Maryland and Pennsylvania and all the other places, San Francisco next year. But when we get together again in San Francisco, we should have so many stories to tell, because we walked out in radical obedience to what you said, Father, what you said in your word. Holy Spirit, changed some lives. None of us walk out the same way we walked in. Father, glorify your name, and we thank you for that, and we do. We ask it in the great name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. Grab your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Romans, okay? Romans chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Go to Romans 13. Go to verse 11. This is where the title of this talk came from. Go to Romans 13. Go to verse 11, okay? And that knowing the time. Folks, do we need to know what time it is, yes or no? Yes. You need to know the time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. When we believed, okay? Folks, I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. I do know this, so we're one day closer today than we were yesterday, okay? I know time is running out because we're a day closer to that in people's lives. I know all my friends are one day closer to heaven or hell, right? Right, okay? I know what the time is. Don't know the exact time, but I know the time, okay? Watch what it says. And that knowing the time, that it's high time to awake. The word awake means to arouse. Okay, to arouse. I used to work at Christian sports camps in the summers a few years ago, 10 years ago, and in the cabin, I woke up early. Then it was my job to wake up the teenage boys in the cabin to get them ready to get on with the day. Is that a good job to have to wake up teenage boys in the morning? Okay, they didn't like it, okay? I didn't like it, okay? Because I hated when people woke me up, but I hated when I had to wake them up. I just tap on the shoulder. They wouldn't buzz, and I had to, and then sometimes I had to punch them. But finally I had to wake up. They didn't want to get up. But, you know, once we got some breakfast in and once we started playing our sports, you know what? They were thankful they were awake that day. Okay? You know what? We need to wake up, because when you wake up and start serving the Lord with everything you got, you're thankful you're awake. Is that correct? The word, the same word means to stir up. Okay? Are you stirring things up in this hotel? Are you stirring things up in airports? Is your town stirring up because you're awake and you're alive and you're serving the Lord with everything you got, your breath, your money, everything you got? Are you serving the King with it? Because it all comes back to judgment day, because God's going to judge it all. Is that right? Go to 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light, okay? Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in the strife and envying, but put ye on, who? The Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, okay? It's time, we're running out of time, and we must leave the darkness behind, okay? We must leave the sins behind. What sin has got you that is holding you back from giving the King everything you got? What is that sin? Is it loving your job more than loving your God? Is it loving your job more than loving your spouse? Is it that hidden sin of pornography that's actually not a hidden sin because everything shall be laid bare before the eyes of Almighty God when you die? No such thing as a hidden sin, correct? Correct? Correct. Don't forget that, okay? Is it young people? Is it that video game that's got you? Is it that boyfriend, that girlfriend? Is it that GPA that's got you? Mom and dad, be careful for pushing your kids so hard on GPA. God does not check your GPA when you die. He doesn't check it. Now, young people, I didn't say you couldn't study. Don't go there with me, okay? I don't do that. You give your best effort at everything. But we push our kids so hard for being great students in school, but we push them so hard to be the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in that school. Is it that sport that you love so much, you dedicate all your time to, and then are too tired to read your word? You're practicing every Wednesday night and can't go to your church? What sin, what darkness you need to drop by the wayside? Okay, because it all comes out on Judgment Day. God's going to judge it all, but something's going to win. It's going to be the light, or it's going to be the darkness. Okay, think about that. What do darkness and light have to do with each other? What? Absolutely what? Nothing. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. Some guy told me, I'm just straddling the fence right now from just living in the world, 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in heaven, just kind of straddling the fence. And one of my friends reminded me, said, Mark, don't you ever forget, Satan owns the fence. Satan owns the fence. There is no straddling with Jesus Christ. If you have 1 foot in the world, get it out and put it on God's side of the fence and live it out now. Not tomorrow, now. Not a week from now, now. Because it can jump at you quick, can't you? Death can jump quick, can't it? A few weeks ago, I spoke in Colorado at a conference. A young man walked up to me. He goes to school at Virginia Tech. Brian has classes in the exact same building, the exact same time Cho was shooting that building up, but the very next day. His classes were Tuesday, Thursday. The shooting was on Monday. And this had some questions. This young man had some questions, okay? And one of the questions he had was, he knew he had friends on campus. He had never taken the time to do what? Witness to and share his faith. Let me tell you something. The Cho becomes born again. Cho doesn't do that. Is that right? That's right. He doesn't do that. Well, he wouldn't talk with people. Watch the video he put out. He will talk. He will talk. Who talked with him? He used to sit by himself in lunches off by himself. Okay, what Christian in that college picked up your tray and got off your little clique, okay, and walked over to his table and sat down at his table and said, hey, by the way, who are you? I haven't met you yet. My name's Mark. What's your name? Okay, and just befriended him. See, because we get our little selfish ways. I speak at schools all the time. I look at lunchrooms. I watch people sit by themselves, and I'm the speaker there visiting. I take my tray off wherever I'm sitting, and I go sit with people. Okay, because Satan loves people pushed to the side, doesn't he? Loves it, okay? And when you see someone to the side, it's like, thank you, okay? You walk over into their life and do something about that. Is that right? But where were those bold, righteous men of God at Virginia Tech? Where were those men in those classrooms? I want to know where the Christian man was that stood up in that classroom and said, okay, I'm a born-again Christian. I do not know what's going on in the hallway, but there's gunshots going off. I don't know if it's one person. You don't know if it's 10 people. Is that correct? You don't know if this is happening. I'm a born-again Christian, okay? I need 4 or 5 born-again Christian men to stand up right now in this classroom, okay? And just stand there. They stand, okay, us five, we're going to stand by this door. And when that gunman or gunman come in here, this is ending right now in the name of who? The Lord Jesus Christ, okay? We're standing by this door. All you other people get out these windows and go. You sure you're saved, born again? You got it? Okay, we're tackling this dude or dudes when they come through here. One or two of us is going to die. It ends right now. Where were those men? See, because to many of us, it's not to live as Christ. And it's not to die as gain. It's to live as gain. And we hope there's Christ when we die. That's the truth. We really want a get out of hell free card just in case it's all true. You better find out now if it's true. Get out of hell free cards don't work when you die. They don't work. Where were those young men? School shooting Kentucky a few years ago. Michael Carniol, 15-year-old boy, walked up to a prayer circle that morning, started shooting up the prayer circle before school that day. Anyone know how it ended? A 17-year-old boy walked towards that gunman and said, Michael, he said, this is wrong. He said, put that gun down right now. What'd that boy do? He knelt to the ground and laid the gun down. What you didn't know is that 17-year-old boy was a preacher's kid. And every single day he stood at the front door of his house and his daddy laid hands on him. And his daddy prayed for him to be a bold, righteous servant of the Most High God, that he would not back down. He would take territory as he walked forward. He would worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He would praise his name. And he would not back down from a fight. Because you take light to darkness and the darkness is long gone. Okay? He prayed for him every single day. So when the day arrived, he was ready. When the day arrived, he was ready. See, folks, you cannot die for Jesus Christ a year from now if you don't die daily for Jesus Christ now. You must get ready for that day, okay? It may arrive in your life, it may not, but are you getting ready for that? Because see, that's not a tragedy. That's a glorious day when a man or woman of God takes their last breath for Jesus Christ. That's a glorious day. Come on, what better way could die than dying for Jesus Christ? Folks, do you know how many Christians are going to die in sin before they take their last breath and meet Jesus Christ? When you want to be died doing the Lord's work right out there, making that bold stand for Jesus Christ, okay? Where are they? Where are those men that are going to take that bold stand? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go forward a couple books up here. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to Ephesians 5. Go to verse 14. Ephesians 5, 14. For all the law is fulfilled. Whoops, that'd be Galatians. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 14. Wherefore he saith, what's the word? Awake. One more time. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake. Do not be lukewarm. Do not be in this mushy middle. Awake. You're either asleep or you're awake. You're one of the two. There's not a middle ground with being awake or asleep, okay? You're one of the two. Which one are you? Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk wisely. Folks, you're either walking towards the cross or you're walking towards sin. Which way are you going? You're walking towards the cross or you're walking towards sin. Which way are you going? And if you're going the wrong way, tonight's the night to repent and walk the right way. Because it will be laid bare before the eyes of God when it's all said and done. Okay? 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay? Have you witnessed anyone at this hotel yet? Bold talk with anybody at this hotel yet? Lady came to clean my room today. I got in way late last night, so I slept in a little bit. Evelyn came by. We start talking. Evelyn, where are you from? She said, Jamaica. I said, interesting. How long you been here in the States? She said, 3 years. Great Jamaican accent. I said, great. I said, did your family come over with you? She said, no. I said, they're still back in Jamaica? She said, no. She said, they're dead. I said, really? I said, your mom and dad are dead. She said, yeah. I said, when did they die? She said, my mama died when I was 11. My daddy died when I was 13. I said, who raised you? She said, my grandmother raised me. I said, okay. I said, where do you think your parents are right now? It's a great question, is it not? Where do you think your parents are right now? She said, oh, my mama was saved. She's in heaven. I am not sure about my father. I said, Evelyn, by the way, I said, will you see your mother when you die? She said, yes, I will. I said, why will you see your mother when you die, Evelyn? She said, because I'm a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And we got to talk. We got to talk, got to encourage her. She has two children, one saved and one what? Not saved. Okay? Got to give her a book to encourage her, a book for her her son that's not saved, okay, to plant a seed there and do that. But see, I didn't want to just sit in my hotel room when someone walked in my hotel room. It was time to chat with somebody and do something about that, okay? Think about that. 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, be filled ye with the what? Spirit of God. Okay? Because when you're filled with the Spirit of God leads you, all right? And you just obey as he leads you. Last night, as all my flights got messed up and stuff, so I missed all my connections, and so I'm waiting to see if I get standby on the last flight. And so I saw this gentleman standing off by himself, and I saw him earlier. I thought, he looked interesting. I want to chat with him. So finally, he was off by himself. So I walked over and said, hey, how you doing, man? He said, good. I said, where are you going on this Orlando flight? He said, yeah. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm actually a PE teacher. I said, really? I said, what grade? He said, elementary school. I said, you're crazy. And he said, no. He said, it's great. I love it. And I said, really, why? We start talking, all right? I said, Chris, let me ask an interesting question. how easy this is. Chris, can I ask you an interesting question? He said, sure. I said, Chris, do you ever think about what happens when you die? He said, you better believe I do. I said, what makes you think about it? He said, well, I've just been curious about it lately, thinking about it. You know, people get curious about this stuff, don't they? Yes, they do. I said, Chris, by the way, what do you think happens when you die? He said, you know, I'm really not sure. All right, bingo, there we go. We started talking. He grew up Catholic, walked him through the Ten Commandments so he could see his sin, told him there was only one way to get washed clean of that sin. And who is that by? That's by Jesus Christ, okay? There's nothing else that can wash you clean of your sin. There is no other way to get to heaven. Don't buy this ecumenical, universal type stuff they're trying to teach you right now. That's a lie from the pits of hell, okay? At Gerald Ford's funeral, some gentleman got up there and read from John chapter 14. He read verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and said, and Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He stopped and went on with his talk. Did he forget anything? No man cometh to the Father except by me. He lied to the people in that church at that funeral. He lied to the people on TV because we want everyone to like us. Let me tell you something. When you speak the truth, everybody doesn't like you. Everybody doesn't like you. Okay? But I'm not looking for any person on planet Earth to say, well done, my good and faithful friend. I'm much more concerned if I will ever hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Much more concerned if I hear that. I can't worry what people think about me when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be concerned what God thinks about you, okay? Chris and I talked, gave him this book I wrote, One Heartbeat Away, on the flight, get off in Orlando. I'm just kind of standing there waiting for the train to come pick me up. All of a sudden I hear Mark, and I turn around, it was Chris. He said, hey man, I need to talk with you. I said, okay. He said, I've been reading your book on that plane. I need to tell you something. He said, in the last 2 weeks, I've had these panic attacks, okay, because I'm fearful about dying. He said, I know God sent you to me tonight to talk with me, okay? Think about that, okay? He's reading. He wants to learn more about this to see if it's all real. He said, I will be in touch with you. Hugs me at the end down by the luggage carousel, okay? See, that's why you know what to redeem the time and be led by the Spirit of God to do that. 4 weeks ago, I'm speaking in Panama City Beach, Florida. We taught 1,000 teenagers how to share your faith in Jesus Christ. We taught you how to do it, and we just walked out on the beach. Okay. Thank goodness there were so many lost people hanging out there because it's easy to find you when you hang out on a beach, right? Let's thank God for Orlando because what happens is lost people come here from all across America, all across the world, come here. Oh, not for Disney World, not for Universal. They come here to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, will we Americans who live here ever give it to them? Will we ever give it to them? That's why people come to America, not the American dream. The American dream can send you straight to hell. Okay? They come here to get to Jesus Christ. Will we give it to them or not? And then Panama City Beach, we go out there. So I'm walking the beach witnessing. I walk up to 8 teenagers from Tennessee. They had come down on a senior trip. I'm witnessing to them, talking. As I'm witnessing, there's a gentleman sitting on a chaise lounger on the beach behind them. All of a sudden, he sits up. He starts looking at me and listening. All of a sudden, he's looking over there. Then he puts his ear to listen some more. Okay, then he covers his eyes so the sun doesn't. He keeps fidgeting in his seat. I talked 25 minutes with these teenagers, gave them some books, shook their hands. I walked back over to him. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, can I help you? Okay, I didn't know what was going on. Can I help you? He said, yeah, I want that book you wrote called One Heartbeat Away. He was listening to what was going on. I said, why do you want that book? He tapped the seat and said, sit down. So his wife was there. She moved her legs. I sat down on the seat. I said, where are you from? She said, I said, where are you from? They said, Atlanta, Georgia. I said, what part? They said, Lawrenceville. I said, what school district? They said, Brookwood. Listen to me now. I said, isn't that the school that just had the star quarterback die in the drunk driving accident? Mother looks at me and says, this is my daughter, Stephanie. That was that young man's girlfriend. Okay? She looked at me and said, on that Saturday evening, I was asleep. And when you're asleep, you need to do what? Awake. She said, the Holy Spirit woke me up. And the Holy Spirit touched her and said, go pick up your daughter now. She got up, got in the car, drove to the high school party. Can you picture this? Okay. Drove to the high school party, walked in the high school party. Teenagers, can you picture this? Okay. Mama walking through the door. Okay. Walked right up to her daughter. walked up to her daughter and said, Stephanie, I'm giving you a ride home tonight. Come home with me. Stephanie is a very obedient, young Christian woman. She said to her mother, what? Yes, ma'am. That's what you say to your mother, young ladies. You say yes, ma'am, to your mothers, okay? Yes, ma'am. She looked at that young boy and said, Daniel, I'm giving you a ride home tonight. Come home with me tonight. Daniel said, no. She looked at him a second time. Daniel, I'm giving you a ride home tonight. Daniel, come home with me. Daniel said, no. Third time, Daniel, come home with me. Daniel said, no. Daniel walked out of there, got in his car, drove, one car accident, killed himself in a drunk driving accident. That mother looked at me, tears welled up in her eyes, and said, 2 years ago, my 15-year-old son died in a drunk driving accident. I have lost two boys very close to me. She said, how do you deal with the pain? That's what that mother said to me, okay? And I looked at her and we talked. We had 30, 45-minute talk there about this stuff. And what I told them was, is you know what? When that accident happened, I prayed that the Lord would get a book I wrote called One Heartbeat Away into the hands of all those football players, okay? I told that to the mom. The mom looked at me and said, you know what? My daughter will be able to get that book into every hand of all those football players at that school. I had prayed that about a month earlier. Now watch what happened, all right? I live in Atlanta. They live in Atlanta. A church from Dallas. A friend of mine became the youth pastor. He brought all his youth down to Florida. He asked me to speak for him, so I came down from Atlanta to do that. The teenagers came down from Tennessee to sit right here on the beach. At the exact same time, those two mom and dads are sitting right behind them. Do you see all the Lord Jesus Christ had to do to pull that off and do that? That's the God you serve. That's the God we serve. That's why I want to be led by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, because Daniel Peaks walk out of here just like that. Friends of yours walk out of here just like that. The question is, where are they going? Grab your Bible, Old Testament, go to the book of 1 Chronicles. You got 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and go to 1 Chronicles 12. Go to 1 Chronicles 12. Go to verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, okay, which were men that had what? Understanding of the times, to know what is Israel, what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at the commandment, okay? They had understanding of the times. Folks, do you have understanding of the times? We live in wicked, evil times. There are people dying and going to hell, and we're caught up in things that just don't matter. Do you know the times we live in, and what are you doing about these times? Okay? 2 weeks ago, Atlanta, Georgia, threw the second, third largest gay and lesbian festival in America. We go down there every single year to witness. I put it on my schedule. I take no speaking engagements that weekend. I go every single year, 7 or 8 straight years we've been down there witnessing, okay? And the most amazing thing, one, many amazing things, but one guy, the thing about the festival is it gets smaller and smaller every single year. Okay? Well, before you clap too much, one of the reasons it gets smaller every single year is that homosexuals die much younger than heterosexuals do. The average gay male in America dies at 42 years old. The average heterosexual male in America dies at 75 years old. The average lesbian in America dies at 45 years old. The average heterosexual woman in America dies at 79 years old. It gets smaller because they die. You can clap all you want to, but many of those souls just went to hell. And the question is, where were all of you at when that festival's in your town? Okay? I don't clap when people die and go to hell. Okay? I am glad it gets smaller, though. Okay? But you know what? We go every single year. But the media lies to you. They kept saying there were 300,000 people. There weren't 300,000 people there. One guy looked and said, I have buried so many of my friends this year. You know, if we go down and give the truth. We give the truth all the time. There's some hard conversation there, but you know what? Every single year we meet people with open hearts. I had a guy 1 year talking to a group of his friends and stuff. One of his buddies took a track I gave him at the end, went over and just threw it straight in a trash can. Okay? This other boy backed up. He said, hey, man, he said, what's your number? don't know why he wanted it. And I said, what's your number? I gave him my card. I said, there's my card. I said, why? He said, this lifestyle is killing me. I need to talk with you. He called me 2 days later from Charlotte, North Carolina. We talked an hour and a half on the phone, and this boy's leaving this lifestyle. Okay, but see, if we're not down there to take light to darkness, how would they ever say, what's your number? How can they ever say that, okay? But do you understand the times? The times are wicked, they're evil. In Tampa, Florida, they arrested the men that were witnessing at the gay and lesbian festival in Tampa the other day, okay? We were fighting in Atlanta for our rights. They told us 3 days before, sorry, the city's not gonna back us up. I flew in from Colorado on Thursday, Friday, the first day of the festival. I picked the phone up, called the chief of police in Atlanta. Called the head guy. I said, we got a problem. I got his secretary. They're saying that this festival, gay and lesbian festival, they said that we're not going to have our Christian rights to go out and talk about Jesus Christ and distribute Christian literature. I want to talk to the chief of Atlanta police right now. Okay? She said, well, it's going to have to go through the GLBT, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender department. Ouch, that's a lot of stuff. And I was like, oh, I don't want to talk. He said, nope, I'll send you over to Darlene Harris. I was like, oh, great. So they sent me over to Darlene, okay? They give me Darlene on the phone, and I said, Ms. Harris, I said, I've heard that we are not going to get our Christian rights to boldly stand for Jesus Christ and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost people and hand out Christian literature. Is that correct? She said, who told you that? I said, my lawyer that's been working with the city. She said, I don't want to say that he's misinformed you, but that's not correct. You will have the right to talk to people about Jesus Christ this weekend and hand out Christian literature. I said, ma'am, could you repeat that, please? Okay. She repeated. I said, Darlene, I have your phone number. They gave me her cell phone. I have your cell phone. I said, can I call you if there's any trouble? Quote, if you have any trouble with any patron or any police officer, you call me immediately. I will be down there all weekend, and we shall take care of it. Okay. God gave us favor we don't deserve. Okay, but you better start standing up now because the favor's going to end in America. The favor's going to end. You better stand up for it now while you got the favor, okay, because the time is ticking, all right, and we need to stand for that. Let's go to Romans 10 and get ready to close it for you, okay? Let's go to Romans 10 for you. Go to Romans 10 and go to verse 13. Verse 13. How then shall they call on him? Let's go to 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are your friends and strangers going to come to Jesus Christ unless we take the good news? Forget that. The great news of the Lord Jesus Christ to these lost people. The word preach means proclaim. That's all the word means. It doesn't mean preacher. It means proclaimer. Someone tells somebody this truth, okay? How are they going to hear? All right? Watch what it says in verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, okay? Tonight you're being sent. We have the truth, we know this is the right answer, and now by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're being sent out into this dark world to carry light to the darkness. And when light shows up, does darkness stand a chance? Look at one sunrise, you don't stand a chance. When a lie is being told, does it stand a chance when truth shows up? And it's our job to take the truth out to these people. Think about that for a second. It's the great news. Under his time, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Last summer, I'm driving to Tennessee. I got pulled over by a policeman. I was doing 70 miles an hour in a 55 work zone. Ouch. Pulls me over, so over there, I wasn't paying attention, and give him my card and stuff. So he's back there, give my info and stuff. So I'm sitting in my car, I'm saying, Father, what's going on? What's going on, man? I don't want to waste my money and give it to the county government or whatever. What's going on? I said, Father, I get it. You're trying to slow me down. Okay, because there's someone supposed to meet at this hotel up here where I'm checking in at that I would miss if I was getting there too quick. Okay, so I said, okay. I said, Father, make sure I don't miss that person or it wouldn't be worth the ticket. Okay, don't let me miss that person, okay? He came back as he said, okay, you sign right here. I said, sir, police officer, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, if you died tonight, are you 100% assured you go to heaven? He said, yes, I am. I said, sir, how do you know that to be true? He stood there and he said, sign right there, okay? He didn't want to answer the question. Well, I just began to proclaim to him, okay? Because he can't go anywhere until I sign that piece of paper, okay? And so I began to proclaim and talk with him. witnessed to him, signed it. He starts walking away. I said, sir. He came back to the car. I put my hand out the window to shake his hand. I said, sir, thank you. I enjoyed meeting you very much tonight. I'm going to be praying for your safety because I know families worry about police officers that are on the streets and stuff like that and safety, okay? I'll be praying for your safety as you serve your community. Here's a police officer, okay? How many people have ever done that to a police officer? That ticket can be a blessing, not a curse, okay? I get to the hotel. I walk in the hotel. I witness a lady behind the counter at the hotel, all right? I witness this lady, and she's giving me all the right answers about Jesus Christ. So I took one of my books I wrote, signed it, gave it to her. I looked at the young lady. Now, do me a favor. She said, what? I said, don't sell that book on eBay. Do not collect the proceeds. Do not buy a house and a couple cars, okay? Don't do that, okay? Well, she starts laughing. All of a sudden, there's a gentleman standing next to me checking in. He looked at her and said, I'll buy that book from you right now, okay? I looked at him. I said, no, you won't. I said, you get a free one, okay? And so I start talking to him. His name was JW. We pulled off on the side a little bit. We start chatting. He's a private pilot. He flies private air jets, okay? He's flown around Glenn Beck. He flies around David Letterman. This is what he does for a living, all right? We're chatting. We're talking. All of a sudden, he looks at me and says, you know what, Mark? We were talking about sin and stuff. I said, Mark, he said, my wife was committing adultery on me, okay? I hired a private detective to follow my wife. He followed my wife for 1 month, all right? At the end of the month, he handed me a DVD. He said, I've been following your wife for a month. Here's the DVD. Your wife is not committing adultery on you. He said, your wife is a whore, is what he said. And he had pictures on there of all these different houses where this woman was going to commit adultery on her husband. Let me tell you something, ladies. You want to break the heart of your husband? Cheat on your husband. Commit adultery on your husband. Because what you just said was, honey, you're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. Okay? I had to go somewhere else. Okay? Men, want to break the heart of your wife? Cheat on your wife. Cheat on your wife. Because you just told your wife, sorry, you can't satisfy me. I had to go somewhere else. Okay? And if you even have a little bit of that inkling in you, you never say, I do. You don't say, I do. Because I deal with the kids who come out of situations like that. I meet those people on plane flights. Met a lady one time. Her husband committed adultery. And only time he committed adultery when she was on a business trip. I said, ma'am, aren't you on a business trip today? She said, this is the first business trip I've taken in a year since I found out about it. I said, ma'am, are you nervous? She said, I'm so nervous to go home. Because now the trust factor's been broken. Okay, it's not worth it. I began to talk with JW, witness to JW. I said, JW, I feel like I need to pray for you. Now, you don't go home and pray for them later because you'll forget sometimes. You don't go up to your hotel room and pray for them. Where do you pray for them at? Right there. I looked there. I said, Father, thank you. Most people never heard their name taken to the throne of God before, man. Take that name to the throne of God right in front of them. This guy lifted his head at the end. I gave him a book I wrote. He said, Mark, thank you so much. He said, thank you. I've enjoyed this so much. He walks down the hall. He yells back, hey, Mark. I said, what? He said, I'm going to read this book. I said, okay, JW. And he's gone. The next day I woke up. I was leaving there. I talked to the manager. Said, Mark, I just want to let you know something. I got to follow up with JW this morning when he came to the front desk. I just checked. He's staying here in multiple weeks ahead. Mark, I'm going to keep working on this guy until he becomes a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. See, some plant, some water, but we'll use the time wisely as you walk through here and do that, okay? Think about that, all right? And we must be people who do that, all right? Acts 26, and this will be the last verse for you, okay? Go to Acts 26. I was reading this the other day, and my. Acts 26, go to verse 17. Jesus speaking to Saul, who was about to become Paul, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Sent again. We keep getting these same words, awake, send all the time. 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of who? Satan, unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness unto light, from Satan unto God. That's what you exist for, to walk into people's lives and give them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and help turn them from darkness unto light and from Satan unto God. Is that correct? That is correct. 3 weeks ago, I'm speaking at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting in North Carolina. Bobby Bowden was a speaker. Tommy Bowden was a speaker. I was a speaker. Not sure how I got on that docket, but I was pretty happy. And I'm speaking there, and I'm talking to a guy beforehand. He's from the University of Alabama, FCA guy. We're talking. All of a sudden, he looks and said, excuse me, there's a guy from Auburn right there. I went to Auburn. He walked over. I said, hey, how you doing? He said, good. I said, what'd you play at Auburn? He said, football. I said, what year did you graduate? He said, 82. I said, take your hat off. He took his hat off. I said, what's your name? He said, John Gibbons. I said, John, I have a question for you. Listen to me now. I said, John, do you remember walking into my dorm room at Sewell Hall at Auburn University, and you and Bishop Reeves used to sit on the end of my bed and tell me about Jesus Christ? John, do you remember that? John, do you remember giving me a Bible? John, did you know I was a Catholic kid growing up? I never owned a Bible. That was the first Bible I had ever owned in my life. I said, John, I used to read that Bible. And I said, John, about 3 to 4 years after I graduated college, I became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And John, do you know you were the first person with three other people at Auburn that took time to witness me about Jesus Christ? And you gave me the first Bible I ever owned. John, are you ready for this? When I met him 3 weeks ago, it was 25 years after the fact when he handed me that Bible and told me about Jesus Christ. You don't think God can't use a conversation, a seed? You may not ever know what happens to the seed you plant in someone's life tonight. But would you be faithful? That man walked into my life because he saw a guy hurting big time. There was no basketball that could satisfy me. There was no girl that could satisfy me. There was no GPA that could satisfy me. He saw I hurt. And so he gave me truth. He gave me Jesus Christ. He told me about Christ, gave me the word. Okay, and God took that seat, and God allowed me to see the man 25 years later. It was so emotional for me to stand there and talk with this man because all God may be faithful. That man didn't know what happened to that seed, but he was faithful in this man's life, okay? A couple nights ago, I'm at home, and there was a knock on the door, and it was an Orkin guy or something, and he's up at the door and stuff, so he's talking and stuff. I said, where are you from? He said, Idaho. I said, okay. I said, did you grow up Mormon? That was my next question, and I didn't realize how Idaho is very Mormon, and I just found it out recently. He said, yeah, I did, actually. I said, really? I said, serious about it? He said, yeah, I took a 2-year mission trip. I said, where'd you go? He said, Boston. I said, okay, all right. And so he said, Boston. So we start talking and stuff. So I said, are you still serious about your faith? He said, not really. I said, why? He said, my sister died. I said, how'd she die? 23-year-old sister died in a car accident. This young man was struggling, okay? I said, was she your only sister? He said, no, there's 7 brothers and sisters. I said, okay, 6 are still alive, 1's dead. He said, no, 2 are dead. I said, okay, how'd the other one die? He said, my 2-year-old brother was playing hide and seek with my mother, and she couldn't find him. So she got in the car to go find him, okay? And he was hiding underneath one of the tires. And his mother drove over and killed his 2-year-old son, okay? We start talking, okay? Looked at him, what do you think happens when you die, Laydell? He wasn't sure. I said, we talked about heaven and hell. I said, here's how to tell where you go. You just have to look at God's standard called the 10 Commandments. It's just a mirror, let you know how you're doing. I said, Laydell, ever told a lie before? He said, yeah. I said, what's it make you? He said, human. I said, well, that's a good point, but I said, if you murder, you're a murderer. If you rape, you're a rapist. If you tell a lie, you'd be a what? A liar. And he said, liar. So you ever stole something before? He said, yes, I have. I said, what's it make you? He said, a thief. You ever lusted in your heart before? He said, yes, I have. I said, Jesus said the same as committing adultery. He looked at your inside as well as your outside. Is that correct? That is correct, okay? All of a sudden, my parents showed up, okay? And my dad hadn't seen the place yet, so my mom, I just got it. So they came over, and so I ushered my parents in, okay? Went over to get a book. I came back to the front door, and Laydell looks at me and said, hey, finish up those 10 commandment things. He was admitting his sin and wanted to know more about his sin. I said, you ever take the Lord's name in vain? He said, yes, I have. I said, that's blasphemy. I said, have you ever been angry with someone before? He said, yes, I have. I said, Jesus Christ said the same as committing murder if you've been angry without cause. Is that correct? Correct? I was just on death row in Birmingham. I met murderers over there a few months ago. And let me tell you something. Every murderer I met, anger first shot their wife over something. Anger first knifed someone over a dice. It's always inside that leads to outsides, okay? I said, Laydell, you just told me you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, adulterer, and a murderer by God's standards. So would you be guilty or not guilty on Judgment Day? What did he say? Guilty. I said, would that mean heaven or would that mean hell? He said, hell. I said, Laydell, does it bother you to be going to hell? He said, yes, it does. I said, do you know what it takes to make sure you don't go there? He said, no, I do not. Explain to him repentance. Explain to him the cross, what the blood of Jesus Christ can do. Explain the resurrection, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Muhammad didn't do it. Buddha didn't do it. Confucius didn't do it. Zoroaster didn't do it. Shinto didn't do it. Jesus Christ did it. And if he didn't rise from the dead, your faith is in vain. You're wasting your life. It's a fairy tale, no different than Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck. If he did rise from the dead, you have the only right answer, and you have no right to keep it to yourself. None. Because there's people like me listening when people like you speak. Okay? We talked, gave him a book. He said, oh, by the way, I said, you stay in? He said, no, I'm actually moving back to Idaho in just a couple weeks. See, folks, timing is everything. Gave me his info. I said, let's go to dinner before you move back. He said, okay, let's do that, okay? But see, if I miss that opportunity, okay, I miss the chance to plant in his life. Think about that, okay? Last statement here, okay? You want a heavy piece of truth? Here's a heavy piece of truth. I can guarantee you one thing that you can't do in heaven that you can do down here. You can worship God in heaven. You can praise God in heaven. You can sing songs to God in heaven. You can read your Bible in heaven. Bible says to be in heaven, okay? But one thing you can't do in heaven that you can do down here is you can't share your faith with a non-believer in heaven. All right, why? There's none there. Do you know from the day you die to the end of eternity, and there is no end of eternity, you'll never, ever, ever be able to share your faith with a lost person again, if that's true, and you know it's true. Shouldn't that be one of the high callings of our life is to reach out to all these lost people? Yeah. Think about this, folks. When you die, when you eject out of this body, and you physically die, and your soul goes before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will not stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You will go face down before the Lord Jesus Christ. When unholiness sees holiness, you will go face down. Is that right? And you will be so thankful because your only opportunity, your only hope on that day is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. That's it. None of us get it yet. You'll get it on the other side, but we get enough that we put our faith on top of and live it all for that. Is that right? You will not get, but you will never engage a lost person again for all of eternity. I don't say this in a cocky way. I say it in a true way. I got a 4-year college basketball scholarship to Auburn University for one very simple reason. I can take that orange ball and I can put it in a goal. I can shoot a ball pretty well. Okay? Why can I shoot a ball pretty well? Why? Hours upon hours upon hours of what? Practice. That's all I did as a kid is shoot hoops. If you do it enough, you get halfway decent at it. Wait a minute. If I can't witness out there and I can only witness down here, there's only one way you ever get better at that, and that's what? Practice. Is it time to start practicing again? It is time to practice again, okay? I'm practicing today. I'm practicing tomorrow at 3 different airports. I'm practicing in Buffalo. I'm practicing on the way home tomorrow. I'm practicing, okay? I've written a book called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. And of course, the one thing you can't do is share your faith with a non-believer. This book is full of teachings, practical, easy teachings on how to share your faith in Jesus Christ, how to break through the fear of rejection, number one thing that you talk about. Where's that young man that I met out there talking to people, handing Bibles out and stuff? Where's that young man at? Blonde-haired young man. Young man. You. I met you today in the airport, didn't I? Oh, yeah? Oh, it was a big thrill for you, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. That was a good shot to my ego. Stand up for a second. Stand up. What's your name? What's that? Clayton? Clayton Christensen. I saw Clayton out there today as I was walking to meet someone for lunch, and Clayton was out there walking up to people, boldly walking up to people, getting into conversations, boldly walking up and talking to people about God and the Bible. But he mentioned interesting, he said, when I mentioned the Bible, a lot of people rejected you. Is that correct? That's what he told me. Okay, I encouraged him to keep on keeping on. We have a whole chapter in this book, how not to fear rejection, because young man, when you get rejected, always remember this, Clayton, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. And that's a lot worse, okay? But my Bible says if you ever get rejected, great is your reward in heaven, okay? Young man, you impressed me today because you had boldness that I would have been close to sometimes, man. You just walked up to people, got into conversations, okay? Never let Satan stop you from doing that, okay? You did a wonderful job today, okay? It was good to see you out there, okay? All right. This book, it shows you how to break through the fear of rejection. A whole chapter on questions is how to get started. Isn't that the other thing we fear? Well, how do I get rolling with people? Teach in a chapter called Say What, How to Do That. But the book is just full of stories of people I've witnessed to. And here I witnessed to Satanists. I witnessed to atheists. I witnessed to Charles Barkley's in this book. Alex Rodriguez is in this book. Michael Jordan's in this book. Okay, I met Jordan a couple times at Barkley, threw a question out there, went for it. You would not believe the feedback we're getting off this book. I spoke at Liberty University a couple months ago, 1 month before Dr. Falwell died. I'm speaking at their chapel service, 7,000 to 8,000 students out there. On the front row is a gentleman sitting there all by himself, kind of Middle Eastern looking man. He's sitting there, doing my talk. I finish, people want to come up and talk. He walks up to me. He says, excuse me. I said, yes. He said, my name's Pastor Sam. I said, okay, that's great, Pastor Sam. I said, what can I do for you? He said, I read your book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. I said, okay. I said, how'd you get it? He said, I walked up to my pastor one day. I said, Pastor, I can preach in churches, but I have the hardest time walking up one-on-one talking about Jesus Christ. You got any advice for me? He said, yeah. He said, read this book. Hand him One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. Pastor Sam went home that day, picked up the book, read the first three chapters. The third chapter is breaking through the fear of rejection. He took the book, he laid it down, walked to a mall, shared his faith for the very first time, just talking with one-on-one strangers like that, okay? He now does it all the time. He teaches at churches on witnessing. He says he teaches out of this book. And then he said, Mark, by the way, I'm from Egypt. I'm a former Muslim. I live here in Washington, D.C. My goal is to reach the 400,000 Muslims in Washington, D.C. for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? By the way, did any of you know there were 400,000 Muslims in Washington, D.C.? You don't think they're making a play for the power of America? You better think about this. You better pray about this, and we better reach them for Jesus Christ so they don't do that, okay? I had a pastor. Someone got this book for his pastor, gave it to him. Pastor took it. He emailed me, put it on his shelf. Woke up one day at 5 a.m. The Lord touched his heart. He said, read that book. He picked up the book, read it. It was done by 8 a.m. You zing right through it. Lots of stories. He said he was on his knees weeping. He said, why do I not have a heart for the lost like the people in the Bible do, Peter and Paul? Then he wrote in the email, why don't the people in my congregation have a heart for the lost also? He wrote me and said, that is going to change. He bought a book for everyone in his church, took his church through the book. We now have a free study guide that goes with it. You can just download it free off the website. Took his whole church through that. He said, my church is going out now and reaching our community for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he wasn't going to stay lukewarm. He was going to go out and do something about that. Had a lady walk up to email me. She said, I've been in ministry for 30 years. 30 years in ministry, okay? Youth ministry here, committee there. I read your book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, and realized what I should have been doing my entire life is sharing my faith with lost people about Jesus Christ. She wrote me and said, that is gonna change, is what she said, okay? 2 months later, I'm speaking in North Alabama. A woman walks up, just an older woman on a cane walks up. She said, excuse me, do you remember that email you got about the woman 30 years in ministry? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm that woman. I said, really? Okay, so we began to talk, okay? Just on fire, woman, just love. She points to the back. She said, you see those 17 people sitting back there? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, those people are all from my church back in our town. We came here to your conference to learn how to share our faith in Jesus Christ. We are going back to our town. We're going to take our town for the Lord Jesus Christ when we get back there, okay? That's the attitude we need, because she said, and we wrote this in the book, she said, I know I have tickets to heaven in my pocket. But we wrote in the book, you don't want to die with tickets to heaven in your pocket. You can't use them on the other side. You can only use them here to give them away to people, okay? And it convicted her and got her attention, okay? So when we finish tonight, there's a table with books back there for you, okay? This book's back there. I dare to be very different, okay? There's no price tag on these books. I charge for nothing. Okay, you go to my website, there's no charge on my website, okay? You order what you want, you pay what you want. That's how I operate the ministry, okay? So the books are back there for you. It's $13 on a bookstore. If you want to give $13 for it, that's fine. If you want to give less than that, that's totally fine with me. If you want to give more to help me do what I do around the country, great. If you don't have the money, you want to take it, there's an address here, you can send it in later. I go this far. If you pay your tithes and pay your bills, is that the correct order? Yes, that's the correct order. God's money's first, Mark's money's second, and you've got to keep it in this order. You're going to get messed up. True? You're going to mess yourself up, okay? God's money's first, Mark's money's second. If you pay your tithes and pay your bills, and if you do not have any extra money, okay, do some people fall in that category? Yeah, there's teens, there's families that are tight. If it's a financial reason, you do not have any extra money, you want that book, you walk right back to that table, you take it free off that table, that's my gift to you, okay? Only stipulations, you have to read it. All right? Why would I do that? Okay, I have one very simple goal in life. I want to see 6 billion people saved. That's it, just 6 billion. Okay? and it's not going to happen with me walking the streets of Atlanta. That's kind of when all of us who claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ start boldly standing for Jesus Christ, okay? Because Satan can't stop an army that's active. He can stop an army that's sitting. If you're sitting, he can stop an army of a church. He cannot stop an army that walks outside your church and gets out in this world and does that, okay? And then last thing, how many of you have lost people you're trying to reach for Jesus Christ? How many have lost people you're trying to reach? Okay, now wait a minute. How many hands should be up? Every hand should be up. If you do not have lost friends in your life that you're trying to reach for Jesus Christ, you've got a major problem. Okay, and I mean that very seriously. You have a major problem. Okay, someone asked, would you write a book to lost people? So we came up with this book called One Heartbeat Away. It's been out a year and a half, just passed, I think it's 150,000 copies around the world. What we did in this book was, we did all the basics. Can you prove there's a God? Can you prove the Bible true? We have a chapter called The Flames. Everything it says about in the Bible, most everything, what it says about heaven or hell, but it has a bunch of those near-death experience stories about heaven and hell. Weren't those powerful stories? Crazy stories. People read that. We walk you right through the Ten Commandments, leave you right at the cross. You can decide what you want to do. Ready for this? We've had atheists read this book, become born again. Had agnostics read this book, become born again. Had Muslims read this book, become born again. Had Catholics read this book, become born again. We've had prisoners read this book, become born again. These are the ones just that we've heard of, okay? Because it's made itself through. It's over in soldiers' hands. I just got an email from Baghdad. Soldier read this book. He said, Mark, I read One Heartbeat Away. Absolutely transformed my life. He said, I work with 300 souls. How do I get 300 copies? That's a big order, but I love soldiers. So I said, what's your APO? He sends me his address, send him 300 books. 6 weeks later, he sends me pictures from Baghdad, big meeting going on. They're all holding the book up. He took pictures and sent it to me here in the States, okay? Because it says, the title's One Heartbeat Away. You don't think soldiers understand One Heartbeat Away? They understand One Heartbeat Away. It's us civilians who don't get it, okay? But we did the same thing in this book, full of stories, people I witnessed to. And here I got to witness to atheists. I got to witness to Vanilla Ice. Remember Vanilla Ice? Ice baby. And we had a 30-minute talk in an airport, okay? And one thing I asked him was, I said, Mr. Ice, I didn't know what to call him. And I said, what are you into? He said, I'm into Scientology. So I asked a simple question. I said, how'd you get into Scientology? Never forget his answer to the day I die. He looked at me and said, he said, because John Travolta had a talk with me. What was John Travolta doing? Witnessing and sharing his faith. So John Travolta can stand up for a bald-faced lie. Scientology believes in aliens. When you die, you go to the aliens that are up above us, folks. That's what they believe in. Okay? He can stand up for a bald-faced lie, but you and I cannot stand up for the resurrected Savior of the universe. I beg to differ. I wrote at the end of that book, if you're born again by the end of this book, make sure when you die, John Travolta is not outwitnessed you. Okay? He ain't outwitnessing me. We have the truth. Is that right? In this book, I got a chance to witness to Magic Johnson's in this book, Terrell Owens in this book, Tiger Woods is in this book. Here in Orlando, I was on a golf course with him and Charles Barkley. We were walking. I said, Tiger, always need to ask you a question. He said, go for it. I said, when you die, I said, what do you think's on the other side? What do you think's out there when you walk out of here? He literally stopped dead square in his tracks, stared at me and said, I don't know. And that struck up a 10-minute conversation on the golf course. The whole story's here. Some people found out within 1 week, three different people got to follow up with the seed that I got to plant in his life that day. Okay, don't we serve a wonderful God? We serve this wonderful God. If you'll get out there and push it out there and do that, okay? This one doctor I know, he runs eye care clinics. His whole goal, though, is not that his patients can physically see, but they can what? Spiritually see. In every doctor's office, he has a rack with books. Bible, three books on there. Bible, my first book, my second book. He emailed me, said, Mark, he said, we've already gone through 1,500 of your books. We need 1,000 more of these things. But don't get big-headed. We move a lot more Bibles than your books, by the way. And he said, we need 1,000 more. He said, you would not believe the conversations we're having in this doctor's office, okay? Because he's going to reach out. He's going to plant seeds and go for that. I got an email from Baghdad, an email from a mother. Her son's in Baghdad. Some church put together gift bags. And in the gift bag, they put One Heartbeat Away. Okay, soldier got this in Baghdad, started looking at it, reading it, said, just put it up, okay? 2 days later, he's on patrol, firefight breaks out. He dove behind a sand bunker. When he dove behind the sand bunker, he began to what? he began to pray, and this is what his prayer was. Quote, God, I know you're in my heart, but I've not made room for you. I'm not where you want me to be, but please protect me. Do you think soldiers pray for protection? All the time. All of a sudden, another soldier jumped in behind the sand bunker. Now, one thing you don't do when snipers shoot is you don't move because they can see the movement, okay? He decides to move. He slides over. Soldier takes his spot. 2 seconds later, sniper shot hit that other soldier directly in the face and was dead. It killed instantly, okay? Now, why God takes one over the other, I cannot help you with that, okay? But I do know this. There's a young man in Baghdad to the day he died that will never be able to say that there is not a what? God. God protected him on that day. He went back. He started reading that book. He called his mother up. He said, Mom, that book is impacting lives. People are reading it. Can we get more copies? She got a hold of me. We got a bunch more to his company in Batoon. And literally, lives are changing because they see life and death right before their eyes, okay? This book's back there on the table for you. Again, it's just donation only, whatever you want to do. If you want to get more than these and start reaching lost people, do that. If you're not born again, this is my gift to you. Just take it off the table, read it, enjoy it, make a decision, though. Get off the fence. Get off the fence. Indecision is decision, right? It is, okay? And both those books are on MP3, so if you want to listen instead, drop them right to your iPod or MP3 players. They're back there for you to do that if you want to listen, because some people won't read a book sometimes, but you can pop it in their hand with an MP3 and listen while they're working out or listen in their car and do that. That's for you there, okay? All right, let's everybody stand up as we close here. Let's everybody stand up. Now, listen to me. This is truly how sad Christianity is in 2007. This is how sad it is. Watch this. A fallen, sinful man said, stand up. And what did you do? What'd you do? You stood up. Yet the God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every single creature, and you don't. That's how sad Christianity is in 2007. Listen to me. Stop obeying men. Unless they give you godly advice, stop obeying men. You need to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? That's right. That's what finally hit me one day. I'm in a church. The music minister kept saying, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up. Everyone just kept obeying. And I was sitting in that church, and all of a sudden it drilled me. Men speak, we obey. God speaks, and sometimes we say maybe. We don't have time. When that mama had the Holy Spirit speak to her and said, go pick up your daughter, it is not time for indecision. Time to get your daughter, okay? God spoke through his word tonight. It's time to awake. Okay, he spoke. No time for indecision. Okay, it's time for decision to follow. Okay, every second, 2 people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, over 150,000 more people walking off into eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. Okay, simple question for you. All right, do you care? Much tougher question though. Do you care enough to do something about that? I'm asking those questions one more time. Okay, if you feel comfortable, I want you to verbally respond to it. But you're not verbally responding to me. You're not verbally responding to the person next to you. You're not responding to VEP, okay? You're responding to who? God. Almighty God. That's who you answer to. You have a one-on-one meeting with God coming up. You better get ready for it. If you had a one-on-one meeting with your boss next week that determines if you keep your job and you get a pay raise, I can make you a big guarantee you're getting ready for that meeting. You got a much bigger meeting coming up. A big one. And think about this. The Lord wants you to get ready for it. It's not to pick apart. He wants you to get ready for it so he can bless you because of your obedience and your faithfulness. That's who you answer to. Every second, 2 people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, over 150,000 people walking off into eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. Simple question for you. If you feel comfortable, I want you to verbally respond to God. Okay, simple question, all right? Do you care? Okay, tougher question. If you feel comfortable, I want you to verbally respond to God. Do you care enough to do something about that? Okay, most places I go to, it's usually louder on the first and quieter on the second, because that's the tough one. Will you go do it? This is one of the few places, man, it's kind of even right there, okay? That's the difference maker, though. Will you walk out? Will you be obedient, okay, as you step out in this world? Let me tell you something. He's worth it. Amen. He's worth it, okay? Don't realize that after you die. Realize it before you die. Time is very, very precious. Use it very, very wisely. in the days to come. Father, thank you so much.